This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We are fast approaching the hurricane season, and as always, the first report comes out around this time, and it's released by the Colorado State University, and Rob Fry, lead forecaster for the National Weather Service, joins us to kind of explain what all of this means. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So, Rob, this report, when I look at it compared to other numbers for averages over the years, would you say that this is an above average report about the number of storms?
Well, I mean, you have to understand that going into the season, we always are so focused on those numbers, you know. But you also have to realize, what do those numbers tell you? In reality, to answer your question, yeah, it is slightly above our climatological average in terms of numbers. But again, the question is not how many storms are going to form. It's always, where are the storms that do form going to go? And unfortunately, right, these numbers, they don't tell us that. They're just numbers. Yep. We have an idea of, you know, the numbers out there. But if, in this case, Colorado State is calling for 17, well, if all 17 storms stay out to sea, was it a bad year? No.
No.
From our perspective,
no.
Shipping interest may have had, and some fish out there may have gotten stirred up, but was that a bad year? No. But if 17 storms affect the, you know, East Coast or Gulf Coast, absolutely, it's a bad year. So it all depends on the actual impacts and whether or not those storms stay out to sea or if they have direct impacts on the U.S.
I guess it's safe to say that the vast majority of these storms do, in fact, stay out to sea, correct?
Yeah. And that's another thing. You know, we know that there's going to be storms every year. Most actually do stay out to sea. But there are some years where, unfortunately, quite a few will have an impact on the United States. Again, this time, early in the season like this, not even before the season even starts, we simply don't know. We actually have to wait for the time where the storm actually develops, and then what's the current weather pattern doing at that time? Then we can actually say whether or not, okay, it's going to go out to sea and only bother some fish and some shipping interests, or if it's actually going to make landfall in the U.S. or Caribbean or in New Mexico.
So I was reading the report in the press release, and one of the things that caught my eye is they said a lot of this is driven or impacted by the El Nino Southern Oscillation. Where
right,
do we find ourselves relative to ENSO at the present time?
All right. So right now, you have to understand, whenever you are talking about ENSO, what that implies in terms of hurricane season. All right. And it's very unique because you're thinking, why are we talking about the Pacific and the water temperatures in the Pacific? Because that actually has a correlation. And I'll give you another example of how something so far away can have an impact on, you know, on us locally. For example, during the big winter storm that we had in January, we actually got pinged in our office by the Anchorage, Alaska office, where they were actually warmer than we were. So there's a correlation. When we typically are colder, in the rare events we get snow, Alaska is actually warmer. They are actually above average. And the same thing can be applied here, in a sense, where in the Pacific, dealing with these waters, warmer waters would lead to an El Nino, cooler waters would lead to a La Nina. The correlation here for the Atlantic is, during El Nino seasons, there's a little bit more wind shear available that actually limits the amount of storms that are able to develop, generally speaking. On the cooler side, we have La Nina, which actually reduces, it does the opposite, it reduces the wind shear. And then with that, we typically see a higher number of storms develop. Right now where we are neither in a La Nina or El Nino. We're actually in an ENSO neutral pattern. But we are leaning a little bit cooler. So we are leaning a little bit more toward La Nina. And I think that's what Dr. Klotzbach at Colorado State was honing in on his report, and why just slightly, it's slightly, his numbers are slightly above average for the year.
So that kind of means that there's less availability of those high pressure systems moving across from west to east that actually kind of keep those storms offshore to a certain extent. Would that
right.
be
right? And remember, we're talking about what's going on, not necessarily here at the surface, but what's going up in the mid and upper parts of the atmosphere. That's where, you know, the winds at that level is what steer these things. Typically, you'll see an upper level high, a Bermuda high, across Bermuda and the Azore Islands in the Atlantic, steer the hurricanes or any type of tropical system just north of the equator to the west. And eventually, it's going to go north. You know, all these storms want to go north. You know, that's by design, by Earth's design.
And is that because of the rotation of the Earth?
Actually, it is part of that. It is part of Coriolis, but also remember that Earth is in balance. It's trying to balance itself. That's why we have wind, right? It's that's just the pressure wanting to be equal across, you know, the entire globe, which is unfortunately never going to happen for it. But it tries. The same thing happens with heat. You know, it's colder at the poles, the equator very warm. Well, Earth is trying to balance that out. So that's the reason why we get storms in the first place. So going back to what I was saying with the Bermuda High, it steers it. It wants to go north. Eventually, it will go north. But depending on exactly where, it depends on where that high sets up and also where the trough, where troughs are beating into the side of the high pressure system. So it all is a balancing act. And again, it's all the Earth trying to just balance itself out.
Water temperatures seem to play a role mm-hmm. as well. Where are we at the present time?
Well, I will say, if anyone was paying attention last year, we were breaking records for Atlantic sea surface temperatures. They were just really, really, really warm. We are still really, really warm this year, but we aren't breaking records. So we're a little bit lagging behind where we were last year. That doesn't mean that we're still not above average across most of the Atlantic basin. That being said, above average going into the summer, we can kind of infer that there's going to be more energy for storm development, and that's kind of where we are right now, unfortunately.
Also, you guys always talk about Saharan dust that has a positive impact in reducing the number of storms. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Basically, if you think about a hurricane, it's very, very, very moist. It thrives on that moisture, that warm, moist air. When you add the dust, it's much drier. It's much, much drier. So it's very, very difficult for a storm to get going and also maintain with that drier air in the mid and upper levels.
What influences the amount of Saharan dust? Is that something that's occurring on the other side of Africa?
No, it's just north of what we call the ITCZ, Intertropical Convergence Zone. That is basically the storm track and what you know, kind of feeds hurricane development, especially later in the season. Along that area of thunderstorms, You know, there's a lot of wind, a lot of dust storms that get kicked up on the north side of that in the Sahel region of Africa. That picks up the dust, it gets lofted, it gets stuck in the atmosphere, and then it continues to transfer west in the easterlies. So it's basically just several, like multiple dust storms that get going because there's that that area of thunderstorms that develop a little bit closer to the equator. So just north of that, where it picks up that dust.
It's interesting, you know, and then you have the confluence of all of these factors.
And, there's a lot to consider.
As a layperson, you wonder, how do you determine, you know, which one is going to have greater influence than the other at a point in time on a certain day that may be critical to the formation of that hurricane or that storm?
Right. And that's, you know, unfortunately, you know, more than a week out, we don't have very much. Now, right. Within a week out, we have computer forecast models that can really hone in on certain key entities, at least in the short term. And, you know, that's even if we're about a week out in the forecast and we're seeing a generation of a storm, you know, near the Cabo Verde Islands, way out there, almost like really, really close to Africa. We see a storm develop. Okay, well, that's a week from now. If it does develop and it does make an impact on the U.S., it wouldn't be for about 10 days later. So think about that. We are able to see about a week out, but again, even then, we're not sure what the pattern is going to be like in 10 days. Is it going to make it all the way across the Caribbean? Is it going to make it into the Gulf? Is it going to affect the Gulf? Is it going to affect the East Coast? Even in 10 days, we wouldn't know.
So when we talk about the data that's generated, and we're looking at the noodle maps, right? Why is there such a broad differential sometimes? And what is it that they're evaluating? I mean, do some models put more emphasis on one data point as others, as opposed to others?
Well, you got to understand, different models have different physics and also different resolution. Resolution is key. Most of the forecast guidance is actually considered global guidance. In other words, it's forecasting and over the entire globe. So when you're doing that, you have to limit the resolution just a little bit. Otherwise, it would take days for one model run to be calculated. So those differences in resolution kind of have an impact on you know, exactly like you said, the spaghetti plots can have an impact on one particular track. And also it depends on, you know, what we're using now is the same, like one model set. We're able to see different members of that model called ensembles. So we're able to see that one run with 30 different variations from a starting point. So that takes in any type of uncertainty from the beginning, from the start of the run. So we use all that data. And if there's a general consensus, we kind of are more confident in terms of track of the storm. Now, sometimes you'll see that where, especially early on in the storm's life, where the spaghetti models, especially toward the end of the run, like 5, 6, 7 days out, where there's so many variations. Generally, again, that's early on. The storm has not been sampled by our friends at the Hurricane Hunters, by satellites, by surface observations, upper air observations. We're at that point collecting as much data as we can going into those forecast model runs in order to get an idea, a better consensus of where the storm will go. I hope that answers your question. It's a lot of science.
No,
there.
Absolutely. I guess, though, it begs the question of...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports?
You can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Why do we show so many? I mean, if resolution is key, I think that's the word you use. If that's key, and we know that a number of these represent much less resolution, we're not really comparing apples to apples. And I think... I think the interpretation by the public is that we are, and that's why I asked: are we just placing more importance on a data point than otherwise? But it's even more granular than that. So I just I question then what is the value of showing all of these?
Well, I mean that's. You know, something that, you know, I guess you could ask, you know, media, you know, our
the local
broadcast.
Meteorologist, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Here's a problem with spaghetti plots. And, you know, we have multiple discussions about this every year. Folks are going to see what they want to see out of those. Right. If you have like five tracks going to Houston and one track going to New Orleans, all of a sudden it's coming to New Orleans, even though that's a far eastern outlier. People see what they want to see. You know, there's also the flip side of that where it's like, okay, well, you know, there's one track going to New Orleans, four tracks or five tracks going to Houston. I'm in the clear. Well, not necessarily. Things can shift, especially early on in the life of a hurricane.
What if it's the most reliable spaghetti model that's been proven itself over and over again out there, right?
Well, show me a spaghetti model, just one track that has. You're not going to find it. We need all of them. We need that consensus amongst the models have a better idea.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Rob. Is there one in your estimation that's the most reliable?
They're all reliable in certain situations. It depends on the situation. I mean, I know that that's vague and about as clear as mud, but I'm just saying that I'm looking not at one model, but a consensus of models in order to have my certainty in forecasting. Yeah.
Well, when you do so, and you're involved in your assessment, do you tend to cluster the models that have near the same resolution?
It depends. In a lot of ways, yes. But at the end of the day, for me, I'm looking at two things. I'm looking at in terms of what the model is producing in terms of track and intensity. Track, I'm more confident in. Intensity, not so much. Models struggle with intensity, again, because of, like I said, differing resolutions, differing, you know, atmospheric, parameters, that sort of thing go into, you know, just how strong systems are going to be. Unfortunately, you know, we haven't gotten as good at forecasting for intensity as we have the track. So that's, you know, we always tell, at least here at the Weather Service, tell folks, you know, if you're under the gun, you are expected to go two categories higher than what's forecast just to be safe. It's always a good rule to have here. As if they are, if we are forecasting a category two, it doesn't hurt to prepare for a category four just in case.
So as it relates to forecasting, what do you see in the future? Is there a role for AI? Do y'all see where that's a potential tool that helps?
Well, it's unique that you mention AI because models of themselves as AI.
Yes,
in general,
I thought it would be,
and we've been using those for a long time, even before AI was a buzzword. We've been using those. So yeah, I mean, it's already here.
Yeah.
And in terms of where it goes in the future, I'm sure that there's going to be advancements. I'm not an AI specialist, but I do know that it's essentially what we've been doing for so many years all along. It's just now we have a fancy little buzzword to put on it.
Yeah. Well, I was just kind of curious if there's water cooler chatter about, you know, where the future holds for you guys as forecasters, you know, and whether or not the advancement of and the maturation of AI, I guess, more than anything else, offers new possibilities for you.
I mean, absolutely. But there's one thing that, you know, in terms of weather, we take a lot of heat being meteorologists. We got thick skin. We're used to it because we're always wrong, right? But here's the thing. Weather's always going to be an imperfect science. No, but I'm pretty sure some of your viewers do.
But I have.
but here's the thing. It's going to always be an imperfect science. We're essentially, our job is to place a value on infinity. Because until we are able to sample every molecule of air from not just at the ground level here, but from the ground to the top of the tropopause all around the globe, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to have a 100% accurate forecast, which is honestly, it's quite fun because it's a challenge. And that's the challenge. And this is one of the challenges that really, really livened me up getting into this field. It's always a challenge. Yeah, you got to have thick skin, you got to have tough skin, but, you know, it's that challenge that I'm going for.
Well, every minute of every day during the pendency of a storm is a very dynamic situation. Rare is it static for long, right? It's constantly, conditions are constantly changing, and it's the ability and the process of how quickly you can deal with that, all that information is probably one of the bigger challenges, I would imagine.
It is. And like I said, it's just, you know, trying to place a value on infinity here. It's really, really difficult, but it's fun to try. Definitely fun to try.
Well, Buzz Lightyear was able to do it, wasn't he?
Infinity and beyond, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Rob, thank you so much for joining us. I enjoyed that conversation. I learned some things here today, and you know, because people's expectations of this are one thing, and what reality is something else. And it's nice to have a candid conversation about both. Rob Fry, lead forecaster, National Weather Service. Have a great week. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Take care.
All right, folks. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Equinart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.